You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
Tuesday, 17 November. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, we chat with Mia Kruger. Another vaccine announced, markets all green, and we'll touch on some ShopRite, some Vodacom, and some other numbers out. Octodec full year results, they have deferred a dividend announcement. We'll chat with their MD. And then Soho Sun Hotels, late after the close on Friday, results after what was literally, in their words, a devastating 6 months. Yesterday, we were asking you about gold. Buy, sell, ignore. About a third of you ignore gold. Of those trading it, 54% long, 41% short. That's almost a half-half. MoneyWeb brought to you by Orbvest, a global real estate company that has a hyper-focus on acquiring stable income-producing medical buildings in the USA. Investors use Orbvest's online platform to invest directly into low-risk commercial real estate, primarily in the healthcare niche in the USA, from as little as $5,000. Headlines from this morning, MoneyWeb, ShopRite AGM, the 40th and last one to be chaired by Christo Wiese, Business Day, Reserve Bank likely to keep rates steady. Morning markets are green pretty much across the board. S&P up 1.2%, Nasdaq 0.8%. Asia, we've got Sydney up 0.3%. The exchange is working again today. Turkey up 0.2%. Commodities, gold 1,889. Rand 1532 against US dollar. And top 40 looking for a red open, about 0.7% lower.
MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Mia Kruger, director at Kruger International. Mia, morning, appreciate your time. A couple of results out yesterday. Vodacom, perhaps the big one. It's a sort of 6 months result. Not bad numbers. And I mean, data absolutely flying, up 86%. That's not a surprise by any sense, I suppose. This was lockdown. We were literally locked down and on our phones.
Absolutely, you got that spot on. And I mean, that was one of the trends they really highlighted during the results yesterday, where they said the fact that people had changing sort of habits in terms of using more data, they actually had to invest over 5 billion rand into the infrastructure in South Africa just to deal with this hike in data traffic. And South Africans used more than 86% more of Vodacom's data during this time. So that's an exceptional increase, and I think that's a great underpin for the business. Also, obviously, Safaricom, the investment that they have in Africa did very well, and they were able to actually pay out a lot of that dividend. That's the custom for them. When they receive a dividend from Safaricom, they pay that out mostly to South Africa or to the investors. And that was about half of the headline earnings that they reported on. Half of the rise was mainly due to the strong income they received out of Kenya.
I've always looked at telcos and thought, they're kind of utilities, but they priced not as utility. I mean, low PE, high dividend yield. Is that how you look for a telco as a utility, or do you think there's more to it?
Yes, I think you're very right in that sense, because it is and it acts like a utility through and through. Also, the characteristics of the pricing and the cost. I mean, when you look at data and the cost of data, it's definitely something that's coming down through time. It's going to be more accessible as data suppliers increase. You know, we've got many international, big projects like Googaloon, like all the orbiting providers that we see globally. So there's going to be competition. I mean, we know Africa has a low penetration rate. It's very accessible to people with smartphones, data, etc., and not really with landlines or fixed communication there. But there's definitely going to be competition in the future, and I do think that it acts like a utility. And when you look at the share price movement, you know, yesterday we saw the share price really sort of up and down. There was about a 9%, 8% difference between the high and the low of the day and where it closed. So it is acting like a utility in terms of where it's priced.
From utilities to deeply cyclical stocks, Astral, love the stock, love the management, but there's times to own it and there's times to not own it. And imports and increased maize price is hurting. And I mean, It looks like 2021 will be better for maize, but at this point, it's a cyclical company under pressure.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a... I feel very sorry for our whole poultry industry in South Africa, and yeah. maize again once again very focused on what prices does, how the crop is for the year. You know, it's, we know that's what the thing with farming. The better the weather is, the more maize comes to market, and the lower the prices become at the end of the day. So unfortunately, all the areas of Astral were affected by. Firstly, imports, then by the maize price. And the company is struggling due to not only that, but also due to the fact that consumers are under pressure mm-hmm. and consumers are actually just spending less money. So whether it's on poultry or whatever the case may be, on data, maybe not so much, but but property is definitely the other one that's affected by this. But so unfortunately for Astral, I wouldn't say this is something that I'd look at as an investment at this time.
Yeah, they're not buying chicken. They are buying data instead. Shoprite was the last AGM to be chaired by Christo Visser. That is undoubtedly an end of an era. I got to say, I didn't think the update was bad. The market, however, disagreed and sold that stock down quite aggressively.
I agree with you, Simon. I'm actually not quite sure what the market saw in that, and why it was so negative. Maybe it's with the departure of Visa. Who knows? But the market is strange and acts in a strange way. Nevertheless, the update was good, and ShopRite is actually still my preferred exposure mm-hmm. in the sector. You know, it's done well. Also, when you look at where it's come from now with the price lows, it has recovered quite a bit from that low. But still, I think our companies like ShopRite are trading very cheap and attractive. And ShopRite is definitely, for me, the one that's the best positioned. They've utilized the most of technology during the lockdown in terms of, you know, rolling out 60-60. Mm-hmm. And it's very successful in South Africa. And they're far ahead in terms of the competitors, in terms of ordering online and online retail. So, yes, I think they're positioned well. They're taking market share away from other competitors. And I'm not sure what the market actually wanted them to report.
Yeah, so flipper's opportunity. I agree. It's my preferred in the space. I've owned it for forever and a day. And I think they're an absolute great operator. Mia Kruger, Director, Kruger International. Appreciate the early morning.
MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Jeffrey Rapnick. He's managing director at Octodec. They had results out yesterday. It's year end August. Jeffrey, morning. Appreciate the time. Obviously, the second half of the year was that lockdown, which every manager boss I speak to, the toughest 6 months ever. How much is it sort of behind you? You mentioned rental collections for August were at 99% across the portfolio, seeming to suggest that perhaps the worst is behind and your collections at least are back to normal?
Yeah, very happy with performance. Certainly the last 2 months have been good. The last month, October, 103% of total amounts debited. So we're happy with that. But I think this is what is of concern to us is COVID itself. Mm-hmm. The unpredictability, our inability to predict the future. So a second wave comes or something else can happen and this can change overnight. We saw this earlier this year in late March, how things changed so quickly. So
yeah,
not yet celebrating the end of it, but happy that the months of April, May and June perhaps are behind us.
Yeah, I take your point on that. I mean, lots of vaccine announcements, but we are not out of these woods, and we do not know how many twists are still coming. Your shopping center rentals actually were increasing. That's in particular one of your shopping centers, which you essentially upgraded, and seemingly that went incredibly well and has worked from a foot traffic and tenant perspective.
Yeah, by far our best performing sector was the shopping sector. The shopping centres, but just to make sure we know what we're talking about, mm-hmm. I'm talking specifically about our convenience shopping centres.
Yes,
our neighbourhood convenience centres. All of them continue to perform extremely well. Very little COVID write-offs there. Just strong performance. People needed to shop and they visited their local convenience center.
And that was it. I mean, I know under my lockdown, I mean, truthfully, actually, since March, I haven't been to the big super regionals. I'm using my little convenient one. It's usually my preferred, but now it's just easy, it's close, and truthfully, feels a little bit safer in a pandemic.
Yes, yes. They've closed in, I think, the physicality of the design of the typical malls versus that or a convenience center.
Residential, which was vacancies markedly up. I wasn't aware, to be honest, that your residential was predominantly student. And, of course, you know, varsities, et cetera, have been struggling. And again, for 2021, we're not sure how that's going to play out.
Yeah, so that's not entirely correct.
Okay.
Roughly a third of our residential is student.
Okay, so only a third.
It's not, yeah.
Okay, so the student under pressure, the non-student, I mean, we're certainly seeing shake-up in the residential. We're seeing a lot of people actually buying with the low prime rates.
Yeah, that worries me a bit. I think we all know that the interest rates are artificially low. When that will turn, I don't know. But it's not going to be like this forever. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's what we think. Certainly, the long-term rates would indicate that interest rates are going to increase in the future.
Some practical. Sorry, carry on.
Yeah. No, that was the point I wanted to make.
Okay. Your loan-to-value, 42.6%, well within your covenants at 50%. I assume all things considered, you're very comfortable with 42.6.
We are comfortable. Part of that, I think, we do swaps.
Mm-hmm.
Included when we mark to market are those derivatives, which are now added. I think it's about 2% are added to the total loan values. So as time passes, that 2% will naturally start unwinding itself. And we are comfortable. I'm not too concerned about LTV, more concerned about the ICRs, interest rates covers, because I think the cash, more the cash metric, and we're watching that a little bit more carefully than the LTVs. Having said that, we're certainly not going to go out and splash up with new acquisitions or major upgrades because of the LTVs.
Got you on that. Dividend deferred till February 2021. The FSCA has given that authority to do that. In essence, I'm assuming you want to pay a dividend, you need to pay a dividend, but you need to get that certainty and that cash flow, and hence giving yourself a couple of months.
Yes, it's just taking a... You've summed it up quite accurately. We don't want to lose our REIT status, and so we have to pay the 75%. But I think it would be it's the more prudent way to wait and take advantage of the extra 2 months and just see what the landscape looks like in mid February before we make the final decision.
Yeah, as the point you made right up front, we don't know how this is going to play out from month to month. No. Jeffrey Webnick, he's a managing director, Octodec. Appreciate the time this morning.
You've worked hard to accumulate wealth, but with these uncertain times, how can you preserve and grow your wealth in a safer place? Offshore, while earning regular quarterly dividends in US dollars. The solution is here. Hundreds of investors from across South Africa are investing in specialized medical real estate in the USA, sourced by a highly skilled team who make it easy for you. Orbvest SA, an authorized FSP. Visit orbvest.com.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Today now with Marcel van Olock. He is the CEO of Soho Sun Hotels. 6 months ending September. Revenue down 84%. Marcel, appreciate your time. I think your first line in the results commentary sums it up. Devastating impact. This has been, I imagine, the 6 months. I mean, this is going to go down as the toughest ever for the industry. We hope nothing ever comes tougher. It's been hard out there.
I mean, we've certainly never had to close the entire portfolio for months on end. You know, we put out a stat of what our current sales look like relative to last year, but it only starts in July or something like that, because in April, May, June, we had absolutely nothing. Did a bit of quarantine facilities and so on, but basically we shut everything down. And I mean, you just never seen anything like that.
Yeah, I actually saw that stat. I tweeted it, and my first thought was, there's months missing. And then I realized, well, they are missing, but the answer is easy. They were zero. How much of your group, and you've got, what, around 100 hotels, how much is back and operating?
So about two-thirds or so are open, but they're running at very low occupancies. You know, we figure at a somewhere around a 20% occupancy, you can actually start contributing to fixed overheads.
Mm-hmm.
So you might not be making money, but you're losing less money than if you were closed.
So you get them open. And I imagine, I mean, I was reading the article on MoneyWeb this morning. I mean, my sense is that your inland are doing well. Your Joburg, your Cape Town are the ones that are suffering. I think we might have lost Marcel there. Marcel seems to have disappeared. Certainly, and they've got covenant waivers, the new covenants, looking achievable for the group in terms of managing those debt scenarios. That obviously, and as Marcel was saying, I mean, you when you're budgeting, when you're making plans, you never say we're going to have zero revenue. That's never an expectation that there's just going to be absolutely nothing coming through. So let's go to our poll quickly, and then we'll get Marcel back on. Question is, holidays are coming up. Are you planning on staying at a hotel or perhaps a staycation at home, or perhaps you actually work over the period? So let us know on the Twitter at MoneyWeb. Are you going to use a hotel over these December holidays? I'm going away. I'm not sure where I'm going to be staying just yet. Actually, I'm going to be doing some camping there. We've got Marcel back on the line. Marcel, I was saying, you know, President last week kind of gave us level one light for lockdown, but I imagine your areas of serious pressure is going to be Cape Town and Johannesburg, which is more focused on the international business / holiday traveller.
Yeah, there's two markets that are really weak. One is corporate SA, your traditional business, you know, big companies in Sandton and so on are closed.
Yeah.
And we don't see those offices opening until probably January, February next year. And if big offices aren't open, there's no travel to or from them. So your corporate market is very, very weak. And then there's no international travel. So they've changed the regulations now too, that if you've got a certificate, you can come in. But mm-hmm. they should have done that 6 weeks ago. So we just don't see anything moving internationally until January, February next year either. So you're very much based on a little bit of government business, because government has to move to operate, local leisure, which is the strongest thing, that's what's keeping us alive at the moment,
mm-hmm.
And a certain amount of essential business travel, not essential in terms of the COVID regulations, but there's a certain amount that people just have to do. But your normal, like your conferencing and your groups and conventions and so on is non-existent at the moment.
A conference is not starting to return at all. I mean, I'm one of those people who used to travel extensively internal for events and presentations. And of course, I haven't left my apartment or my studio since March. Conferencing not yet coming back at all.
No, there's small stuff, so a little bit of executive getaways, people trying to plan their own lives going forward.
Yeah.
We've got the Sandton Convention Center open this month because President Ramaphosa has his investment forum there, but your large-scale events don't exist. And right into next year, so the mining in Darwin, it was a very, very big event for Cape Town and the CTICC, I think. So that's going to take probably another year before that comes back to full speed.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, talking to my earlier guest, we've got the vaccines, but we're a long way from out of the woods. You've got covenant waivers on your debt. Running those numbers and reading your commentary, they look very achievable for the group. They look like something that probably, you know, well within in the reach for Soho Sun Hotels.
Yeah, so we've worked very closely with our banks since March of this year. Before lockdowns and so on came along, we realized what was happening, and we spent a lot of time with the banks. And what our plans are and how we minimize our cash burn and so on. So we are in a good position there. We're also an asset-heavy hotel group, and assets are good for covering debt. So banks are concerned around how you service interest and what your future cash flow profiles look like and so on. But ultimately, they've got very heavy asset cover over the loans. So we're in a pretty good position there.
Okay, that's a great point. Yeah, the assets, you've got the cover. Quick last question. We chatted July when you were sale of that Seychelles business, 465 million ZAR. Is that progressing? Has it been concluded? You were going to use that to pay off some US dollar debt?
Yeah, that was done. Money in the bank. That's completely finished, which is great for us. Probably used about half that money to cover our cash losses in between, but that's completed.
Excellent. We'll leave that there. Myself and Olak, he's CEO, Soho Sun Hotels. The question, as we put out to you, chat to us on the Twitter. Holidays are coming. Are you going to stay at home or perhaps go visit a hotel? The show is brought to you by Orbvest's latest investment opportunity, Medical 29. It's a multi-tenanted Class A medical office building located in Phoenix, Arizona. For more information, visit orbvest.com Orbvest SA, authorized FSP license number 41690. That's it for today. You'll find us live every weekday morning, 6:30 a.m. on the MoneyWeb website or the app. Podcast available just after 7, wherever good podcasts are found. A huge thanks to my team, Eddie Cordora, the social media people playing as well, and to you for listening, my guests for their early morning contributions. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.